The first question comes from Andreas Venditti from Vontobel. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for taking my question. Thank you also for the additional disclosure in the slides, which is very helpful. You mentioned the task force in terms of private loans and the let's say, re-acceleration of growth there. Can you maybe tell us a bit what we can expect in terms of business recovery and also in terms of yield? The yield came down again. Of course, you just mentioned in your closing remarks, obviously, that the yield pressure is there, but so maybe also in terms of outlook on the yield would be very helpful. In terms of your initial remarks, in terms of strategic review, you mentioned something about the SME activities. Maybe you can, I'm not quite sure I got it correctly, so maybe you could clarify what you meant. And maybe finally on the card side, maybe you could add a bit of color in terms of the card innovations you're talking about. And also I remarked the growth in the number of cards has been, gradually coming down. I mean, still increasing, but the growth rates have been coming down. Maybe you could tell us a bit there what you expect also from your new partnership with IKEA and also in terms of cards, how this looks like. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you so much for the question. Let me start this, and then on personal loans, and then Pascal can add a few words on the yield, and I'll also talk about SME and cards and the innovation there. So look, as we articulated, right, the challenge in personal loans is there are multiple items, right? One is the challenges from the pandemic that continue and that we've already seen last year. We also, as you recall, had some dis-synergies last year, which reduced the asset base going into this year, dis-synergies from the Cashgate acquisition. And then the cautious underwriting, which had some upside to it as well. Now, the task force, when I came in, this was one of my and our joint first priorities. And so I really wanted to make sure that we have a dedicated effort on getting this business back in growth mode. And what I would say is, Pascal has alluded to this too, we have seen a stabilization in the asset base in the last few months. And again, pending continued recovery of the markets, we also expect a recovery in that book going forward. Pascal, why don't you add a few words on the yields, and then I'll take the rest of the questions.
Yep. On the yield, so yes, for H2, so we expect a similar level of yield compared to what we have seen as H1, so for P-loan at 7.1%. Olga mentioned before the continued price pressure and competitions in personal loan. On the other side, we also need to see that the yield is always only part of the story. We need to look at is the overall margin as well. And the margin is the sum of the pricing, losses, and efficiencies. So at the end, looked at also the return on assets, which is, I think, appropriate. But indeed, the pressure remained, and for second half of the year, we would expect basically stable compared to what we have seen H1.
Very good. Thank you, Pascal. Then let me take some of the other questions. On SME, look, you may recall we launched the SME lending business a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago, roughly, I think. And obviously, this was before we came into the pandemic. And with the situation where we are today, and the model that we had built, and given the very strong cross-the-board government support for that sector, this is just not a viable proposition. And, to me, strategy is as much about what you want to do as it is about what you're not going to be able to do and what you're not going to focus on. So this was really, from my perspective, something for us to drive increased focus on the things that really matter, such as the personal loan situation that we just addressed. I hope that answers the question, but we can elaborate more otherwise. On cards innovation, look, there's a few things that we're working on with this project. The first is we want to digitize the processes and provide a digital virtual card, if you want. Secondly, we want to increase self-service options for our customers, including digital onboarding and others, and to really make the process simpler, more intuitive for customers. Third, you know, as we build this solution, we're making sure that this is transferable across our products, right? Because we believe that these seamless, simple customer journeys matter across the board. And then lastly, we also believe, you know, and we're getting some feedback there from our existing retail partners, that this is a great tool to strengthen the collaboration with them and jointly increase the value for the customers. So that's really on the current innovation product. In terms of your question regarding growth and the IKEA relationship, look, you know, we've had, as Pascal alluded to, we've had about twice as much time in lockdown this year, year-to-date, as last year-to-date. And so that's also had, you know, a bit of an impact on footfall in stores, on stores being partially closed and other things. That said, you know, we do see revenues coming back. We've seen transactions coming back. We're pleased with our in-market performance, and we're also excited about, you know, the signs that the international fees come back. The IKEA relationship, again, we're very excited about that partnership and having launched this still during the pandemic and with some of their store closures in place. But we do expect this to be a great program for us. You know, they're the largest loyalty program in the market with 1.7 million customers, and we're excited about it. And so this should be a key contributor to growth going forward in the number of cards.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Mate Nemes from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for the presentation. I have three questions, please. Firstly, on credit cards, the foreign spend in May and June in particular, I'm just wondering if you could give us a sense of where this stood in June compared to normal pre-COVID levels, or also perhaps compared to the same period last year. I certainly hear you that you're seeing an uptick, but if you could give us some comfort that this is indeed you know, heading in the right direction, and in the second half we should be expecting a markedly better result on that front. Secondly, the personal loan book underperformed versus the sector in terms of volumes. Obviously, this could be the result of perhaps a bit more cautious appetite in terms of risk. I'm just wondering if you could talk a little bit about the drivers here. And lastly, on costs, we are now seeing basically a nice step down in terms of professional service fees, in terms of marketing fees, and the number of the cost lines are heading in the right direction. And I'm just wondering if you could give a sense how IT expenditures, especially in the context of card innovation and other digital investments, so how IT expenditure should be developing in the second half and perhaps in the years coming. Thank you.
Great, thank you for the questions. Let me just say a couple of quick things, and then I'll hand over to Pascal for the bulk of this. Look, clearly, as we've alluded to, we've seen the uptick, and it's the right question to ask. And our hypothesis always has been, right, that these lines will come back as the markets continue to open, and we're pleased to see that. But Pascal, why don't you provide some more details on the cards as well as on the cost situation, and then we can circle back on personal loan underperformance.
So specific to your questions, Matt, as compared to pre-COVID time, as the month of June was close to the level as we have seen in June as 19.
Yeah, very good. Do you want to take the cost point as well, and then we'll get back to the personal loan situation?
Yeah. So look, as on the cost income on the cost side, so there are a lot of things we like as though in the way the cost has developed as on the cost side, but obviously as though the pressure as though remain as on the revenue side, which means as though the cost income as though is disappointing. Specific to your questions on IT, look as though Olga mentioned as though a couple of times the technology leadership and it's all about technology as though in the future in this market. So honestly, so this is not the line. So IT is not really the line where I would expect the fundamental reductions in the short term. I would expect, ideally, to remain broadly flat, depending on the future investments. I think in total, it's important to look at our cost-income ratio and our cost and cost-income ratio in the context of long-term aspirations, which isn't changed. We refer to the 44% of aspirations we have, and yes, we might have some IT investments required, which need to be offset with further efficiencies.
Thanks, Pascal. Then let me just comment on the personal loan situation. Look, I would say there's multiple factors that play into this, right? Firstly, we've seen some pressure on the book last year already, and that was partially driven by the Cashgate synergies, but also by reduced activity in the market in terms of consumer spending, consumer sentiment, and resulting also in consumer loan appetite. Now, the other point is, and Volker elaborated on this, was our deliberately cautious underwriting, where we've dialed back quite a bit. We're now pleased to see that as the markets come back, we can release some of that. So that should give us some tailwind, and as I said, we've alluded to that. And then lastly, look, you know, there is competition in the market too, right? And that's both from some of the bigger players, as you know, but there are also some smaller players that are getting quite active. I think that's good for the market, keeps everyone out on their toes, including ourselves. And we've put this task force in place to really get us back on growth track. And I'm confident that we'll be able to do that.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Andreas Brun from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Two questions left on credit cards. Do you actually see pressure from the MasterCard debit card launch in Switzerland, which happened by the end of last year? And secondly, do you have pressure on fees on the cards or on other commissions from cards, despite of the lower usage of the card outside of Switzerland? Is there like a market pressure on credit card fees in general? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Andreas, for the question. So let me start with the first one, and then I'll hand over to Pascal on fees. Look, the launch, as you alluded to, you know, look, most banks have started to replace the Maestro cards, right, with the new MasterCard and Visa debit cards, and will complete this process, you know, over time. But I think it's also fair to say that these cards are meeting some resistance from Swiss retailers. Right, the fees are significantly higher by a multiple than those in the Maestro card. There's been some complaints. Some of the supervisory and competition bodies have gotten involved. So that kind of remains to be seen, right? There's a healthy dose of skepticism, I would say, certainly from the retailer side. And then, of course, as you may also know, these cards cannot be used in all industries and purchasing processes in the same way. Right, such as a bit of a challenge for rental car companies, hotels, and the likes, given the uncertainty about the ultimate fees on this. But look, I think these cards ultimately are going to be used in a very similar way as the previous Maestro cards. You know, and that's where we see this trend going, I would say. Let me hand over to Pascal on the second part of your question.
Look, on the fee side, though, this is I would say a dynamic environment, and we mentioned several times that long term, so the pressure will remain. I think the beauty on the credit card side is ultimately, as the volumes are going up significantly. There are also key trends in terms of usage of cards, in terms of cashless payment, and our job, as always, to ultimately offset the potential lower margin with our higher volumes. And this is what we have to do as a short term. So obviously we didn't have change in interchanges. Both national and international. And as I said, ultimately pressure will remain, but critical will be the continued growth in this business.
Maybe one add-on there. We touched on the growth of the number of cards, which was only 4% year on year. Like going forward with stores being open again, do you expect an acceleration of the growth of the number of cards going forward without any further lockdowns?
Look, so first, I think it's important to realize the 4% although in the COVID situation is a good number. The year-on-year growth, 4%, people who do not cannot go in the stores, and this is part of our value propositions, is ultimately acquisitions so in the stores. So in that sense, so I'm pleased with the plus 4% that we increased so year-on-year in cards. Going forward, it's on the total, as we said, so that growth is important at credit cards. And of course, you would expect some further applications, supported as well by partners like IKEA, as an example.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Benjamin Goy from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good morning. Two questions left from my side. One on capital, one on IKEA. On capital, just wondering, with cost income, you have a lot of initiatives there to improve it, but to improve your returns, also the denominator could help. So would you also review going into the strategy day your capital targets? And then secondly, relating to the IKEA launch, were there any meaningful project costs you would call out that might fall away in H2? Or, yeah, you would call it business as usual and nothing extraordinary to report? Thank you.
Yeah, Pascal, why don't you take those questions?
So obviously, look, as on the capital side, as we have as our capital policies in place, dividend and capital policies, and we always refer ultimately as to the 17 as to 19% Tier 1 as a target. And for now, so these are the rules which apply. I think in the situations of COVID, it's good as to have a bit of excess capital. 18.3% is a good number, slightly above our target of 17%. But obviously, as the more it's growing, as the more with questions on what do we do on the equity side. On the real questions, I wouldn't expect extra new movements in terms of investment so for the second half of the year.
Thank you.
You want to further comment, Holger?
I think that's good. Yeah.
The next question comes from Daniel Regli from Octavian. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks a lot for taking my question. A lot of questions have already been asked, but a couple of follow-up maybe quickly on competition in personal loans. Can you maybe elaborate a little bit more on where exactly you see the fiercest competition? Is it from established players coming in with lower prices, or is it from new entrants into the market? Then secondly, on the tax rate, it just saw the tax rate dropped a bit from the normal, let's say, 21% to 19% in H1. Should we expect this to normalize in H2, or was this driven by the sale you saw on provisions, or was this more sustainable drop in tax rates? And then maybe lastly, on credit cards, can you maybe establish a bit on changing client behaviors? Have you already noticed that, for example, people are using their credit cards more now, also driven by the pandemic, which could deliver, let's say, a more or a higher base level of fees? Should then revenues from FX transactions coming back? And also there, maybe quickly back on your comment about the June month, you said June was almost on June 19 levels. Are you talking about volumes or revenues? Thank you.
Thanks for the question. Let me start with the competition and say a few words on cards, and then I'll hand over to Pascal for the tax rate and the particular item on revenue for the FX side. Look, competition on personal loans, you know, I think you get a bit of both. You know, the big players like ourselves, they've been active. You know, the Bank Now and Migo Bank, of course. But we also have seen recently, and this is sort of what I was alluding to with, you know, similar trends as in other places, there are a lot of smaller, more technology-driven players that come into the market, crowd lenders, Bob Finance and others that sort of take a piece out of the value chain, do that really well, partner with other players in the market and all that. Now, I think, first of all, I think that's great. That gives, again, it gives a good dynamic into the market. It gives choice to customers. And at the end of the day, you know, it's our job to make sure that we have the products and the services and deliver them in a way that the customer is willing to buy them from us. That's what we got to do, right? I think the other thing I would say is, and as I mentioned, I was in this business for three and a half years in the early 2000s, and I've seen this at that time already. You know, you will always have a few people trying to rapidly grow into this space because it is quite attractive. But we've also seen a lot of people fail because perhaps they don't have all the depth and expertise that it takes to sustainably succeed. You know, we've been doing this for decades, and we're in this for the long game, right? And so that's I think, one of our – what we bring to the table with our expertise and with our experience. But that said, you know, I do want us to watch this carefully. Always good to look a bit over your shoulder when you're a market leader and then really actively define how we continue to grow the business here. That's what I'd say on competition. Cards in terms of client behavior, I think, look, you're on the right track with the question. You know, and in this industry, as many others, the pandemic really has accelerated trends that were already visible before, right? And so, you know, penetration of card usage versus cash is growing. You know, mobile payments is growing versus cash, et cetera, et cetera. So I would say that global trend that you're seeing will continue. I think that does, by and large, provide some tailwind. And look, you know, overall, still north of 30% of transactions in Switzerland are cash. If you go to the Nordics, it's well below 10%, right? So there is room to grow in this space, and we're excited to continue to build our capabilities. So let me hand over to Pascal on the tax rate questions and also just on the FX side on the cards.
Maybe just to finish, so first on the card side, as well, I mentioned as well before, as well, the reference of the month of June 2021 compared to 2019, it was referred to the volumes and it was referred to the international volumes of the cards business, where I said as well, it's close to the 2019 level. Hope as well it clarifies. On the tax side, though, clearly there was a bit of one-off, although we moved to 19.2% tax rate. We indicated for 2022, although basically 20%, so the reductions compared to last year, and the 20% is basically the change in cantonal or communal taxations in Switzerland. So H1 was in that sense so extraordinarily low.
Great, thanks a lot for the answers. And maybe just one quick follow-up. Did I get you right that you're planning for an Investor Day in December, or will we hear your strategic review conclusion with full year results?
Yeah, we'll give you the details on this shortly, but we do want to make sure we can update where we are with the strategy development in December, and the details will follow shortly.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Good, great. Look, unless there are any other questions, let me just thank you again for dialing in. Thank you for the range of questions. Look, we're pleased to see a gradual recovery here with some remaining uncertainty, of course, in the markets, but we're gearing up to accelerate our way out of this strong loss performance and look forward to the balance of the year. And thanks again for dialing in.